we were talking about reading different books, and a lot of times one of my favorite things to do is just share psalms with you guys. I'm going to read the psalm, then I'm going to go back and pull out what I saw out of that psalm. And today I'm going to cover Psalm 15. So Briant's got his new Bible open. Let's break it in. Psalm 15 from David says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart, and does not slander with his tongue, nor does he take evil to his neighbor, nor does he take reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So just five verses from David. I like to look a little bit closer at them with you guys. Number one, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And it made me think about Exodus. It says in Exodus 40, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled in it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. So the presence of God being so strong, he knew he couldn't go in there. And that's something I'd like to focus on, at least for the first verse. Like, who could abide in the tent? Who could dwell on God's holy hill? And that's kind of what we were talking about in Acts when we were talking about praying, the first step being adoration. I pray to you, Lord, because you're an amazing Lord. I pray to you, Lord, because you're a powerful Lord. I pray to you, Lord, because you have the power to intercede not only in my life, but in the entire universe, the world, everything. So it's like when we sit back and we start to think about God, the God that we serve, we're not serving an equal. We're serving our Creator. So it's important to keep God on the level that he is on. You know, we're serving the one and true only creator of the universe who has the authority to govern and change whatever he, you know, deemed appropriate to be. So first things first, he's not on my level. I want to get on his level. Amen. Like, the first thing I need to really start to think about is when I think about myself, you know, and that's just a good question. Like, if God was to take us up right now before the throne, am I ready today to sit before the face of God? And Moses knew the power being in there that he couldn't go in there. But then eventually he did. And then he asked to see the glory of the Lord. And he goes up there. And the Lord said, well, you can't see my glory, but I will cover you with my hand and pass by. And when I pass by you, you could see, you know, the presence of my glory. But my face you cannot have the ability to see. And so this is what it says. It says, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai after replacing the tablets with the Ten Commandments in Exodus 29. Said it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand, was coming down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin of his face had shone because of speaking with him. And what he did is he entered behind the veil. He got the presence of the Lord. He was in the presence of the Lord so much that when he had actually came down from the mountain, having been so close to God, that his face was actually glowing, and it scared the rest of the people. They were afraid of him. They didn't know what to think because he was glowing. I mean, I'm sure obviously right now my face started glowing, it would catch your attention as well, right? But that's what happened. He had gotten so close to the perfection of God being mixed with our imperfection that it had a physical effect on his face so much that it showed the rest of the people. It's like, this is the true glory and power of God that we're talking about. So in those days, in the Old Testament, and I've talked about this many different times, is we don't have the authority to go in and speak to God. So Jesus, when he tore that veil and eliminated that step, made it completely possible for us to go in and get on our knees and say, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, I pray to you now. So why is that so important? Because I can't get to that veil without him. Without the gospel, without Christ, I can't pray. I can't get there. I can't get in that meeting room. I need that sacrifice for Jesus to be in my life so that I can go through that door and pray and let God shine on my face. Amen. That's just so important to understand how that works. And once we do understand how that works, but back then, they would literally not want to go in. They would tie a rope. We would tie a rope to you, and you would go in with a cowbell. And every once in a while, you would have to ring your cowbell so that we knew that you were alive. Because you hid sin in your heart, and you went into the glory of the Lord, the Holy Spirit would strike you dead. Because God cannot mix with sin. It is not necessarily because God doesn't love us. And we're not going to get into that conversation. However, I'm happy to have that whenever you want. But in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ and the gospel, we were accountable through ritualistic scenarios that were set in place and ordinances that need to be placed in order to take care of that sin in order to maintain that relationship with God. Well, they knew if they were being shiesty about what they were doing, that they went into the glory of the Lord, it would just strike them down. Strike them down. Now, having lived under the dispensation of grace, we have the ability to, you know, kind of struggle with this because it's an entirely different mindset when you think about that whole system and logic and how it plays out. So the idea today and what we're seeing is the Lord in the New Testament saying, I search the mind, I test the heart, I know the souls of the heart of the men. And what he's saying is he's looking at our intentions from our innermost point to see that we're clearly trying to move forward in that relationship with him, right? So it's like I have this dispensation of grace where Christ has saved me, but it doesn't give me the authority to continue to sin and allow sin in my life because God can see that still. Just the same as plain as day as he did when they went in with the cowbell and they fell over and they drug them out and they drew straws and the next one went in. Now that's Old Testament. The New Testament under dispensation of grace, I have to understand that through Christ, I can go right into the veil, right through into the room and pray to the all-time maker of everything and say, here are my cares. Here are my struggles. Here I am as the insignificant man that I truly am with all of the defects and failures and past and luggage and all these things right on the table before God and say, please work with me. That's amazing to be able to have that power, to be able to have that ability, to be able to use that gospel in that way to get in that room. So when he says, who may abide in that tent? I just praise Jesus in understanding that each and every single one of us today can abide in that tent. Whereas maybe 2000 BC, that wouldn't have been the case. So having understood how powerful God is, verse 2, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness. He speaks truth in his heart. So, one, walks with integrity. Proverbs 11 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. So it's just like Bob talking about the information earlier in Proverbs. Here is that information staring at us. He said, the integrity of the upright will guide them. So what it is, I get exposed to this scripture. I get exposed to this faith. I start to learn and introduce myself to spiritual leaders, spiritual friends. What happens is that begins to mold my inner man, right? So I'm faced with these decisions as I continue to walk on a daily basis. But it said the integrity of the upright will guide them. So what happens is when my conscience speaks to me next time, I listen. Amen? When my conscience speaks up in my heart and it says, no, you don't like this. Don't get involved with this. You need to let this go. I listen. And I keep that scripture in my mind, that integrity in my heart. And when my heart speaks, I listen. And it just keeps moving me away. But when he follows that up with the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. And that's just the whole thing. And that's what was so funny when David said, it's hard to kick against the goads. He's talking about the sheep going backwards but running into the spikes. But he's talking about us and all the things. And kind of what John was sharing a little bit earlier. In that we know that this direction provides this reward. Right? This direction provides this reward. We know this. Right? How many of us have gone down that same road 185 times and got the same result over and over and over but continued to sit there and try to figure it out to do it better? But yet, we were just trying to be more efficient at doing bad things, but continued to cause us to fail. Yes or no?
Yep.
Yes or no? Yeah. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. He's just saying that if we allow temptation in our life, sin around us, influences around us that are not influences of spiritualism, then they can influence us to suffer, basically. You see, it's the crookedness of the naive and the treacherous that will destroy them. And it's not somebody else going to destroy me. It's me destroying myself. It's me thinking to myself that I can live every single day and get away with this 30% of sin that I allow to live in my life and act like it ain't really there, but I'm going to get around to it because I got good intentions and I'm going to da-da-da-da-da. But eventually it becomes a cancer that I can't beat. Amen? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness speaks truth in his heart. That's the guy that goes straight. Titus says, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that your opponent will be put to shame. That's hard. That's tough. Cannot be criticized beyond reproach. Cannot be criticized. If I was walking a walk today in my life, I need to walk that walk that I don't give my enemy and my competitor a reason to tear me down. Amen? I don't want to fall victim tomorrow to give them a chink in my armor to stab me. Right? And we all do. We know living in a daily life, we make decisions. I know for a fact that I sinned at some point today, but I prayed about it probably, or I will this evening. Amen? The point is being accountable for everything, making sure that he said dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. He's saying that you cannot be criticized. If I walk this walk and I try my hardest and I put in my all, what are you going to take from me if I fail? Nothing. Because we just said, righteous man falls down seven times, a righteous man gets up. You cannot beat me if I maintain my faith. I can be accountable to a mistake that I made tomorrow that I did not intend to make and reset and be right on track within 5 minutes of making that mistake. Amen? Or I can make a mistake tomorrow that can cause me to be scared to come to Bible study so that you guys don't want to see my face. Right? I can lead and run an organization in my faith, but fall victim to temptation, but then allow that temptation to scare me so much that I'm afraid to face the people that I tried to encourage to begin with. Or my people can come to me and tell me that I love them and that they love me and they believe that I can reset 7 times. A man falls down 7 times, he gets up. Amen? What's the real way to handle that situation? It's love. It's love. We love you, brother. You let us down. You let us all down. But we love you. Amen? Does that make sense? Yeah. Just like in my own life, in our own life, we face these challenges all the way. If Breon's going to make a mistake, I'm going to hold him accountable every day. How am I going to encourage him? Right? If I make a mistake and he holds me accountable every day, how am I ever going to encourage him? It's like beyond reproach, letting the things go, honoring the man that I used to be. If we put my criminal charges on the wall, just like Bob's book that he was talking about a minute ago, he said his Christian friends read his book and was like, oh, well, right? Well, what were they? Perfect people the entire time? From what I understood, Christ was the only perfect person to walk the earth. Right? And having had the ability to go astray and then been accepted the grace to come back to be able to share the message and said, hey, this is exactly what happened to me. I went all the way through the mud, but Christ put me here now. Because of that, I am so grateful. Amen? That should be the mindset. That's what he's talking about. Philippians 2 says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work with you, both to the will of work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. That is such a powerful verse when I think about it. And I love this too, because this is guilty. This got me. Guarantee you this verse right here got me today. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Right? We got a teenager problem over here, right? Yeah. All things teenagers do is with grumbling and disputing. I have one as well. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to display that at work. right? I don't want to display that in public. I don't want you guys to see that grumbling, frustrated, wah-wah-wah kind of attitude out of me. Because if I'm a man of God, no matter what it is, if I have to dig 30 pounds of manure because that's what we got to do, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm going to get it done. Amen? Regardless of the scenario, I need to stand up, be that man, get it done. So, but then he goes, blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation of which you appear as lights in the world. And that's the amazing thing about what we're talking about right here in this verse is that when you walk into the room, right, just being yourself, humble, not better than anybody else, don't deserve nothing more than anybody else, you walk right into the midst of the perverse generation, all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world today, but you're bringing that light with you. Amen. You're holding that torch. You're showing that direction because every single time this specific person, that specific person, whomever it be, family, relative, friend, runs into you, they get a taste of that grace. They get a taste of that love of God from you because you are the light. But when I go into the darkness and I accept the darkness, I shut off my light. What are we going to do now? Right? So if I'm affected by that temptation that allows to suck me back into that whole, you know, whatever it may be, then I'm putting my light out. How am I going to guide them? Who's going to guide me then? You know, that's being the light, being the example, being strong, the light of the world. Number three, speaks truth in his heart. Speaks truth in his heart. And I like this because this is very personal, right? So it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of us, period. It only matters of what we intend to do, who we are, what we're here for, what our goal is. Amen? It doesn't matter what happened 58 years ago, 58 weeks ago, 58 days ago, 58 hours ago. The only thing that matters right now is the truth in the heart. And it's having that gospel, staying connected to that grace, keeping that grace in our life, feeding off of that grace and moving forward in truth, no matter what. Psalm 119 says, your word is thy truth. Psalm 4 says, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. 19:105, your word is the lamp to my feet, the light to my path. And you know, and that's so funny because he's talking about, I'm lost today. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to handle these challenges and things. But David's saying, your word is the lamp to my feet, the light to my path. The more that he gets that scripture, the more that he gets that knowledge, the more that he moves forward. Amen? It unravels all these frustrating things that we're unable to figure out. And he paves the way because he's staying in that word. It's the word that lights the lamp to his feet. What he's saying is, I know where to go. I know what to do. Why? Because I'm keeping your faith in my life. When things occur, I know what to do because I'm keeping you with me. I'm keeping you next to me. That's what's telling me where to go. That's how it shows me what to do. 15:3. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does he do evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. In Psalm 39:1, he says, I will guard my ways that I will not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as if it were with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. And this is David saying, I would rather wear a muzzle on my face than speak negativity or sow sin in my future. I would rather not speak to anyone, fit in anywhere, do anything than plant negativity in my future. And David knows that then just like James, how many of you guys read Book of James talking about the tongue being the ship? Anybody familiar? He's saying that the tongue's the rudder and the rudder steers the ship. So if you get your tongue, you pull that strings, and the tongue gets to running. It's planting seeds. It's planting seeds. Believe that. And if we don't keep those tongues under control, those tongues can take us places we don't want to go. Right? How many times you guys have been aggravated, but you didn't really lose your cool until after you started talking out loud? You ever run into that? You know what I mean? You ever get really aggravated, but then you're being quiet, but then once you start talking, all of a sudden you get escalated real quick? That's because that rudder kicked on, that motor turned on, that tongue. You know, David said, I will wear a muzzle in the presence of negativity so that I do not speak that in front of my life. Amen. That's just how important it is to keep our mouths in check. He knew he'd get carried away in sinful conversations. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good judgment. So here's the thing. I've got, what, maybe 8-9 years now in this specific walk. And I do think that I should be pretty confident in myself right now, right? I've got 9 solid years in this walk. And so 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So what am I doing? If I keep putting myself in situations, just like John said, if I'm going back to these old places, back to these old things that I used to do, keeping myself around all these old habits and things, Bible said, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You don't think I'm setting myself up for failure? Amen? It's true. We need new places, new things. It's not that I don't always, and some of the friends that we've had are friends you'll have for the rest of your life regardless. And I'm still friends with a lot of my friends that don't agree with me on spiritual direction. And I will still eat lunch with you. I will still tell you that I love you, but I will not meet you at the club at 2 o'clock in the morning. I am not going to get involved with the things that you do, nor do I intend to bring you to my place of employment either. But do I love you? Absolutely. Am I always only going to wait for you to finally break a chink in your armor so I can tell you to give it a shot like I did and see what it can do for you, to see what it can do for me? Right? Always. But I'm not going to go into the mists of the pit, whatever that may be, and think that I'm courageous enough to survive without sinning. Right? I'm just a guy. I'm a weak guy. Look at my record. You know? But being mindful that I need to keep myself away from these places and keep myself in the protection of my group, my sponsors, my friend, my Christian friends, my church, you know, my that's the only way I'm going to stay on track. Because it just takes 1 second to change the rest of your life. Who can testify to that? Amen. Right? One decision. Change your future for how many years? Amen. Proverbs 18 says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Now, I think that we already pretty much covered that in the last thing we were just talking about, but that reiterates the fact that how important is it to control the things that are coming out of my mouth? If the Bible says the fruit, what is fruit? That's the production. That's the end result of a man's mouth will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. And then says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You remember we were talking about revival, and God said, speak to them dry old bones, speak to them bones, and speak the Holy Spirit over them bones. And then all of a sudden the sinews came back and the power came back, and he spoke them into life. It's the word that has the power. It's God that has the power, and he uses us to speak that truth into life, to regain that healing power, but to understand that death also resides in my tongue. So when I think that I'm being cool and I think that I'm done with all this, all that, what am I planting in my future? Amen? So important to think about. Back to Psalm 15:4. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. I love this. We're going to touch on this, but we're going to definitely come back to that. But understanding that I am so committed to my faith that I am no longer worried about my reputation. That's painful. That's painfully honest in the world that we came from. Amen, right? Understanding that I could care less if you like me anymore. Because I understand the one and only truth in this life is God. The most important thing in life is God. It's not my job. It's not my friends. It's not my past. It's God. And he is the only one that has the ability to bring healing to any and all of us. So therefore, I will no longer be ashamed by my faith. I will no longer keep back my faith. I'm also not going to try to freak you out and scare you. You know, but I mean, here is the perfect setting because we're opened up to teach and learn and understand. But in regular life, I think the idea would be that when you ask me, what works for me, what do you think I'm going to say? Well, why is it that you go through all these struggles, but yet you still continue to come out on top? Well, I don't always come out on top. I just face the struggle and continue to have faith that no matter what occurs, it's going to be okay. So I don't have to have the answer right now, but I know that I'm under control. Amen? In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. We're saying, so we come from the fact that I've come up so rough that the entire mentality of that is nauseating to me at this point. You know, understanding how crooked the ways were and how twisted the thoughts were, and then visibly seeing it makes me sad. And the reprobate person in the mentality that he wrote says predestined to damnation. But we spoke about that a few weeks ago. The only way one can be predestined to damnation is by not accepting the grace of Christ. So I literally have to choose to say that I want me first, that I don't accept your offer, right? And by walking in that life, living that life, running that life every single day, my actions are speaking louder than my words. Therefore, I remove intentions. Amen? No more intentions, only what I'm doing. So if what I'm doing every day does not line up with the word, then I need to pray, confess, and reset and get that right. Amen? So he goes on further. Acts 2 says, day by day, continuing with one mind, with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day of those who were being saved. So moving in that right direction, staying in that right direction, doing the right thing. The Greek word here is sincero, which is a wax. And what it is the sincerity of the heart. And what they were talking about way back in the day, they used to do the wax signet. Like the signet ring, if I wrote something and it was for me and I was the king and I put my signet ring on it and it was a wax and it was snake and I gave it to you, you could go hundreds of miles away, give it to them, oh, that's the authenticity of the king. Therefore, you must guide by her wishes because she brings the king's ruling. What he's talking about is from the heart, from the inner heart, as almost as if you seared your soul on what you've done, that your faith is true. Amen. That's such a powerful mindset to stay in that understanding, that day after day after day, continuing that one mindset of sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people, knowing that it's coming, it's the fountain that's coming from you. It comes from you. Having carried this love and shared it with everyone you interact with. Now, 15:5. Looking good. He does not put out his money in interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. I'm going to go back to that. Proverbs 6:17 says, there are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that rapidly run to evil, false witnesses who utter lies, and one who spreads strife amongst brothers. Deuteronomy 19 says, there's a man who hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and kills him, that you should deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die, so you shall not pity him, but you shall purge the blood of the innocent from the Israel, that he may go with you. The avenger. Now, wait a minute. I'm sure that didn't fit with the last thing that I read. What he's talking about is God being the avenger in this sense. That when things occur to you, happen to you, you don't necessarily have to strike in revenge. I know that is kind of an eye for an eye mentality. That's kind of the mentality that we always have. If you do this to me, I'm going to do that to you. But the truth is, God is our avenger. He is the avenger of the things. God will handle that. And one thing somebody said to me a long time ago that kind of stuck is, do you think you can do more to somebody than God can? Right? They say, okay, you got a problem with this guy. You're carrying along this grudge for your whole life. But you being you, you don't think God couldn't handle that better than you? Right? the creator of the universe. So this is like, trust him and let him handle that grudge, get past that and move on. But he said, he who does these will never be shaken. Isaiah 5:4-10 says, for the mountain may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. My covenant of peace will not be shaken. Thus says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And I love this thing. So the things that we just talked about throughout this just message and this Psalm 15, and I'm going to recap on it so we can close. He says, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity, he who walks with righteousness, he who speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does he speak evil against his neighbor. He takes no reproach against his friends. His eyes and a reprobate is despised, but who honors and fears the Lord. He swears to this to his own hurt and does not change. But he doesn't put money out at interest. He doesn't take bribe against the innocent. He who does this will never be shaken. And that's the thing that I think about for us. You always think, you know, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? And you're like, well, are you tired of being shaken? Are you tired of getting thrown off your rock? Are you tired of, you know, you want to get consistency in your life? And this is direct advice from David saying, if you follow through these scenarios so much that even when your faith comes to the crossroad, that it causes you to suffer. It causes you to volunteer time that you don't have. Go out of your way and do things that you couldn't possibly do. Stretch yourself to that limit to fill that void and be that one that everybody said, if you see a need and you don't see a person to fill it, be that need. You be the need to fill it. They said, swears to his own hurt and does not change. That means no matter what happens in my life, the one thing that happens, I am not going to stray from my faith. No matter what occurs, this is my direction. This is my hope. This is my commitment. No matter what else comes my way, I am not going to change from this. He says, he who does these things will never be shaken. When I think about that, I think about this. Lord, I don't have the money for my bills yet, but I will not be shaken. Amen. Lord, I don't live in the right place that I want to live in, but I will not be shaken. Amen. Lord, I don't quite see my future yet. My future is undecided, but I will not be shaken. Lord, the car broke down, but I will not be shaken. Lord, these things are in my life and I'm afraid of them. I will not be shaken. Amen. You cannot take me off my ground because my grounding is my faith. And it doesn't matter if you take everything away from me. I will not be shaken because it's faith that gives me my strength. It's faith that gives my direction. It's faith that provides success. Amen. Amen.